So today is Pentecost. It is the celebration of the birth of the church. It is also a celebration of the ongoing movement of the Spirit here among God's people, here in this community, and how that Spirit empowers us still today to continue this work of Christ in the world. And throughout the past 6 weeks, we have traveled through the book of Acts, and we have talked about the work of the early church, and we've talked about shared practices, shared resources, shared leadership, shared vision and mission. And today, we are celebrating the power of God that unites them all together, and the way that God is still empowering these things today in a shared spirit. As we continue this celebration of Pentecost today, I invite you to open your hearts and your minds and accept this retelling. I'm not going to have the scripture on the screen for you to read, but just accept this story of Pentecost. It is based in Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, and they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every people under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language?" In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, said, "Guys, and everybody here, listen, they're not drunk. They are filled with the Spirit. It is only 9 o'clock in the morning. Why would they be drunk?" "No. What is happening here is what has been spoken through the prophet Joel." And at this point, Peter begins to preach from what we can turn to now as Joel chapter 2, starting in verse 28. And this is actually one of the most successful sermons and altar calls ever. He says, "In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. And then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And Peter again addresses the crowd and says, "Listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, as you know. This man, handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having released him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. And then Peter, again, turning to scriptures that he knows, recites from Psalm 16, saying, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will live in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One experience corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness in your presence. I may say to you confidently of our ancestor David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us today. So he's saying, we all know David. He died and he's still dead. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would put one of his descendants on the throne. Foreseeing this, David spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, saying he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh experience corruption. This Jesus that God raised up, and that all of us are witness, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you see and hear. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah. Now, when the crowds heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the apostles, what should we do? I'm going to pause here in the story. It's a good story. There's a lot of important things to notice. First of all, they were all together. So we celebrate Pentecost 50 days after Easter. So this celebration, this day is happening during a time of great concern. They're probably scared, a little lost. They don't quite know what to do. But back when we talked about Luke, back in the last series when we were talking about Luke, and we talked about how Jesus had appeared to the disciples in the room after the resurrection and said, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city till you have been clothed with power from on high. Well, this story here today tells us that they stayed. They stayed. They didn't scatter. They didn't run in fear and hide. They stayed. And one of the greatest things that we can take from this is that the Spirit was poured out on everybody. You get the Spirit, and you get the Spirit, and you get the Spirit, right? It's like you can't see wind. It's hard to imagine the Spirit being poured out over everybody. But you all know, like, bubbles, right? Bubbles. We'll see if they work. Maybe. Maybe not. Well, there they go. But if I were to blow bubbles, imagine this is blowing bubbles, and I, they're not going to just land on those that are worthy, those that are educated, those that know all the scriptures. They're going to go everywhere. Everywhere. I can't control where they go. Or if they come out. The Spirit of God was poured out upon all. Another really important thing from this story. You might have caught it. The Spirit empowers these disciples to spread this message of Christ. And everybody understood what they were saying, not because they had learned to speak the language of those from Galilee, but because the message was being received in the language that they knew. The Spirit empowered them to share the good news of Christ in ways that people were able to receive it. The Spirit did not just enable people to hear the message. The Spirit enabled the believers to share Christ in the different ways necessary to be received. This Spirit being poured out, this is what makes this all possible. This shared life and shared purpose and shared mission because of a shared Spirit poured out on all flesh, giving vision, insight, and power. It is the Holy Spirit who empowers, who gives gifts for diverse leadership, who brings down barriers between people and empowers us to see and to live differently. What the church is called to, it's not complicated. It is really simple. It's a shared life together, practicing kindness and hospitality. It's a countercultural way of living. And it's one of those things that is simple. I didn't say it was easy, but it's simple. My favorite parts of this story are the questions that the people asked. What does this mean? And what do we do? What should we do? Peter replies to the question of what should we do with change your heart and your lives. He goes on to talk about each of you must be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Change your hearts and your lives. That's simple. It's not easy. But the scripture also tells us that this was a very successful message because 3,000 were added to their community. Imagine I get up here and say these words and 3,000 people joined Revolution. Imagine. It could happen. But Pentecost, it is not merely just an anniversary. It's not just a reason for us to hang up the red drapes and to talk about fire. This is a spirit that we live in every day. Pentecost is an ongoing reality for the body of Christ. The same Spirit that descended upon Jesus at his baptism is still moving among us today. It's a continuation of Jesus' ministry through our body of Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is what allows us to become the hands of Christ, the voice of Christ, the compassion of Christ, the witness of Christ in the world. Rachel's been reading from that commentary of Acts by Willie James Jennings, and he says this. The words of Jesus that defined those disciples' lives will now give direction to these who have been filled with the Spirit. Follow me as I follow my Father. These are the words that the disciples are living by. These are the words that hopefully we are living by. What follows from this moment is neither utopian nor unrealistic, but a clear trajectory born of the sure exposure to the divine life. We've been exposed to Jesus. We have encountered the risen Christ. We have been given the gift of the Spirit. And the Spirit of God is one that moves. The Spirit sends. The Spirit of God is not distributed according to status or education or wealth or perfection, but the Spirit of God is poured out upon all for participation in God's mission. So, church, I have to ask you, Where is the Spirit sending us? Where is the Spirit leading us? What does this mean? And what should we do? Are we being sent to offer healing? Reconciliation? Are we being sent to advocate? To offer forgiveness in this world? To serve? To proclaim hope? We all know, and I think we all experience the gifts of the Spirit in ways that the Spirit comforts the grieving. The Spirit convicts hearts. And the Spirit creates community. The Spirit empowers justice and inspires compassion. The Spirit continually calls people into ministry. And the Spirit sustains the church through hardship. I think we have all experienced God's Spirit at work in different ways. I would like to say that here at Revolution, over the past 16 years, we have experienced the sure exposure to the divine and that the words of Christ continue to give us direction. We have that shared leadership, that shared vision, and a shared mission carried out by those that teach Revolution kids, those that care for our little peeps upstairs. All of you that participate in our outreach or justice ministries. We see this in our worship team, not just in our talented musicians and vocalists, but in the dedicated folks that run our AV team. I see this on Wednesday nights with our recovery leaders, those of us that attend here on Sundays and those that don't. I see this in those that pray for and with our Revolution family. She's not in the seat right now, but I see this in Lenora going to serve at Camp Lucon this summer. That is a Spirit-led journey for both Lenora and the Turner family as a whole. That's a big change. And that is a wonderful Spirit-led opportunity for Lenora, both in what she will learn and what she will share. And over the years, we have seen so many people from Revolution called into ministry. And I can honestly say that you as a community support and nurture that call very well. All of these are Spirit-empowered ministries. The giving, the offering of our time, our talents, our treasures. I read that the time, talents, and treasures could be referred to as the Holy Trinity of our possessions. And the giving of those is for the sole purpose of announcing the reign of God's love through Christ Jesus in the bonds of communion together with the Spirit. The author of Acts has given us this vision in the story of this holy wind blowing through this settled way of living and pulls things apart. People caught up in the love of God end up not only giving thanks for their daily bread, but daily offering to God whatever they have so that they might speak this gracious love to others. Here in the Methodist tradition, we call that constantly growing in love of God and in love of our neighbors. And Willie Jennings would call that dangerous. He says, what is far more dangerous than any plan of shared wealth or fair distribution of goods and services is a God who dares impose on us divine love. Such love will not play fair. And in the moment that we think something is ours or our people's, that same God will demand that we sell it, give it away, or offer more of it in order to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, or shelter the homeless, using it to create the bonds of a shared life. This will be the new direction born of this moment. Now, he is talking about this moment in Acts chapter 2. And that moment is still being lived out today, here in these walls, and especially when we leave these walls. The Spirit gathers us so that the Spirit may send us. The question for us today is not, is the Spirit present in this place? The question for us today is, are we willing to be led? So I invite you to do three things. First of all, I invite you to listen for the Spirit. Where are you being nudged? Where are you being led to serve? I invite you to listen for the Spirit, especially during these next few weeks of this summer as we go through a pastoral transition. We want to celebrate the work of the Spirit in having sent Rachel to us 7 years ago. We want to celebrate the work of the Spirit also in sending Rachel to Bowling Green, because we know that the work that she will continue to do there is going to be the will of God and will reveal the kingdom of God to a whole new community, as hard as it is to let her go. We also want to celebrate the work of the Spirit in sending Marcus here to this community. I was thinking of a song as I was writing this. It was that the Walking Around These Walls song. But your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Right? God promised us his Spirit. God's faithfulness still stands in the fact that God's Spirit is still working and moving here. Brenda, I've lost my connection. More ways than one. Okay. God's promise still stands. We want to embody Christ's compassion. We are really good at this, I will say. That comes to that question of what does it mean? What do we do? If you ask me, this is what it means. I want you to mark your calendars for Sunday, June 28th, because we will be packing 100 sack lunches for Louisville Outreach for the unsheltered, and I'm going to need a bunch of hands. That's 100 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches to make. We're also going to be going to Grace Kids on Friday, June 5th. We haven't been there for a couple months because of Derby and spring break. So we're finally back if you want to join us. Also, participate in the life of the church. We need volunteers for VBS. It's going to be July 13th through the 16th in the evening, starting at 5:30. There's a sign up on the back table. If you can help one day, all days, help beforehand, just put your name on the list and we will be in contact with you. We're also going to be decorating on July 12th. That's Marcus's first day here at Revolution. We're going to put him to work. Help, let him tape up some decorations, but you all can stay and help as well. We're also in need of Revolution Kids teachers. And we're also in need of people willing to serve with our youth. So if the Spirit might be leading you towards helping with our kids or our youth, let us know. We're not committing to anything. We can just have a conversation. And June 7th, right after church, we'll be holding a safe sanctuary training, which is a necessary component to being able to work with our children and youth. The Spirit given at Pentecost is still here. It still sets fire to God's people today. And the church, the big universal church, and also this church, is not sustained merely by the programs, the building, or even the person standing behind this pulpit. The church lives because the Spirit of God still breathes life into God's people. And we are God's people. We are God's people united in Christ, empowered for ministry, and sent into the world to continue the work of Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Merciful God, you have called us here. You have called us into the community, and you send us out. You pour out your gifts on all again and again and again. And forgive us, oh God, when we resist that gift of your Spirit and your grace. I pray that you would breathe life into your church again and again and again and again, and that you would set our hearts ablaze with your love, that we may continue this work of Christ in the world. We love you, God, and we pray these things in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.